This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Thank God it's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 3rd, episode 1643, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Let's bring on a little BB King this morning.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll.
We should let BB do the whole show.
Let the good times roll.
We can talk so much about horses.
Probably not, but we would have to let.
Let the good times roll.
Well, we are here. We're going to talk. Don't worry. We're here. I'm just tired this Friday. It just seemed like it was a busy week.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're digging ditches here, Glenn.
I know.
You got to sit down and talk to me for an hour and a half.
Talk to you every day. It's tiresome.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this lovely, beautiful Friday. I'm hoping you're having a wonderful day. Oh, I'm going all NPR.
Yes, you are.
You're having a wonderful day here.
You need background music. Wait a minute. Let's do that over. I got some good, soft, romantic background music. Here we are.
It is currently 7:02 in Phoenix, Arizona, with a temperature of about 50 degrees. Sun is coming up. It's going to be a beautiful Friday. Don't forget, spring training is here. The Cactus League has begun, and you are welcome to join us at a game this weekend. By the way, would like to announce I did get a new baby chick yesterday, and my husband has left me.
Divorce proceedings will be starting very shortly. If you'd like a copy of that, you can write to me and I'd be happy to send it to you.
I actually thought, Glenn, that I would get away with it because I already have baby chicks, and what's one more in the container in the crate? And realized that I didn't throw away the baby chick box deep enough in the trash can.
And he opened your son the trash ratted can. You out.
Oh, we had a discussion. Lucas, this is mommy and Lucas's secret. We don't talk about this.
How many
and
secrets your son must have?
Went to take out the trash, opens the trash can, and he's like, "Why is there a baby chicken box?
You really need a burn bin."
I know. Really I was like, do. Son of a bitch. I threw it away. I thought I was going to get away with the perfect crime. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Do you want music, Jennifer? Hold on. Does that help?
Coming up on today's NPR Horses in the Morning episode, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Dr. Eller from DMV is going to stop by and explain to us veterinarians' role in cases of abuse or neglect that are liable to go to court. It's much more detailed than you thought. And then mid-show, we're going to hear from listeners, and we want to hear your first horse stories, all of the gory details. And then bringing up the rear is going to be really bad ads to further degrade your faith in humanity. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, let's. I wanted to, before we get into the show here today, talk about a death that happened a couple of days ago in the horse world. And I had the opportunity back in 2012 to interview a polo legend, Sonny Hale, for the Equestrian Legends show. She was the youngest, I believe, Equestrian Legends we've ever had on that show. She really was the first female to make her way into professional polo. She was the first female to win the U.S. Open Polo Championship. She competed in polo tournaments in 11 countries. She was the first one to compete in the first, or she really began and started the first women's international polo tournament in Dubai. She's a 7-time Polo Magazine Woman Player of the Year. They have that ranking system that maybe that, you know, how many goal handicap you have. Well, she is the best. I mean, she was the best one. So she was a fascinating woman who really did start women playing polo around the world and was looked up to by everybody in the polo world. She died at the age of 48 of breast cancer, according to her sister. Her name now, one of the other things that everybody loves about the family is her name is Sunny, but her sister's name was Stormy. And she's survived by her dad. She had another sister, and I remember kidding her about this because the other sister's name was Dawn. And I said, how do you get Stormy and Sunny and then Dawn? You know, and then she had a brother named Trails, like Trails, and his name was Trails Hale. So I remember that we were joking about where Dawn came into the picture, but she will be sorely missed by the polo world and by the equestrian world at large. If you want to hear that interview I did with her, it was on episode 28 of the Equestrian Legends Show at equestrianlegends.com. All right, let's do our daily winnies to get back to the right place off of the NPR music and back to our show. Okay, this is my daily winnie. Goes out to Karen Isberg of Kentucky Performance Products. She got another new horse with her rider, Megan. His name is Dodger. Is this number 3, Jennifer?
This is number 3. She's approaching that area of crazy horse owner.
Yeah.
This is number 3? I thought it was number 2. Way to go, Karen.
Yeah. How do we miss number 2? I don't know where number 2 came from. So
Leo.
Yeah, Leo. That's the first one. But
and he's, by the way, cleaning up. He can't lose an event.
Yeah. There, she has quite a team going over there with Kentucky Performance Products, and we're going to get her rider on here shortly to tell us all about the new pony. We're going to find out about that.
Dodger. Learned about Dodger.
Yeah, well, it won't be a favorite of Jamie's, that's for sure, with that name. Wrong name.
Not of Chad's.
Not
if
of
his
Chad's.
Name was Met. If his name was Met, we wouldn't even have her on the show. Dodger, I can get away with.
You can handle Dodger.
I can handle Dodger. Chad can't, though.
All right, your turn.
Oh, there it is. All right. Well, I just wanted to give a daily winnie to my dear student, Kaylee, who her and her mother bought the Montana pony sight unseen, if you recall. And then we had one of our listeners was kind enough to go out and meet the pony. Do you remember this whole story?
Yes.
I don't know. Sometimes you never listen.
I do. After. I'm listening.
So the pony was bought sight unseen, aside from a listener. And when I kind of arranged the whole thing to where when she went and got the vet check, you know, the vet would also assess personality and ease of handling and all that, passed with flying colors, shipped down here. Well, they had their first riding lesson yesterday. Oh my God. I was like, get out of the tack. I'm going to ride that pony right now. I loved it. Oh my gosh. I just could not stop squealing. I just was so fun. And it's a little gelding. He's a German riding pony.
Do we know it's not like, your horse, right?
It didn't matter, Glenn, because I was riding him and he reminded me so much of a little Arab pony named Fancy that I rode growing up that I kept going, good girl, good girl. Wait, no, it's a boy. Okay. Come on, Fancy. Wait, no, that's not your name. I was like, I was transformed into the 11-year-old version of me riding little Fancy, my friend Jesse's horse, my little barn friend Jesse, her pony Fancy. And I could not quit calling it a little girl. I was like, good girl, good job. Wait, it's a boy. And it's a really lovely pony. And I just want to thank Misty for going out to see him, the Fancy pony. And to Kaylee and her mom for trusting me to to choose a horse that was on the other side of the country, really. So I do appreciate it, and it worked out great. So far, so good.
The girl's instantly in love, fell in love, first sight.
She is so in love with this pony that she's been going out and sitting in, there's a picture of her sitting in the feed trough doing her homework. She's sitting in the stall with it every day. It is so cute. She has to learn how to ride it. Absolutely. Every little girl should do their homework with a pony. But she has to learn how to ride it. You know, I mean, the canter, she's been riding Gymkhana's like gaming stuff. And then she rode this pony that was, you guys know Hogan from all the Monty Roberts stuff. And so she was riding quite defensively. So she has to learn how to sit up and relax. And once she does that,
the pony's not going to kill her anymore.
It's not. It cantered so fast. And her mom was like, she's never gone that fast on this pony. I go, first of all, she's telling it to go fast. Like, she's in the fetal position right now. Like, sit up, relax. So she's got a long way to go. But oh my gosh, I'm so excited to work with this new team. It's daily Winnie new horse day. So anyway, I'm so excited for them and the future. And Kaylee and I shook hands and we decided we're going to do this together. And she's not allowed to just jump on it and start galloping over fences. We're going to do this systematically, incrementally, and it's going to be beautiful and wonderful, and I'm so excited.
Good. That's good. It's always good to hear a happy ending of that. This is a happy beginning, not a happy ending, actually.
Yes, a happy beginning. Happy ending, happy beginning, for sure.
Well, I wanted to mention that we are going to take callers today. We haven't done that in a while, so we thought we'd give it a shot today. If you're around and can give us a call at 9:30 to 10 o'clock, Eastern time, here in about 15 minutes after our first guest. We want to hear about your first horse. Tell us about your first horse. How'd that go? You know, first horse stories are always fun, and you know, we have our versions, but we want to hear your version. So give us a call, 435-272-1997. I have 10 phone lines open for anybody that wants to give us a call, and we'll try and get through as many as we can from 9:30 to 10 o'clock. Also, last night, we tried something a little different. Now, last year, horselovers.com was kind enough and gracious enough, along with the help of sponsors like Ovation, one of our sponsors today, to put together 50 products to send out for testing and for product reviews on the Stable Scoop show. Well, they're doing that again this year. And last year, I just posted in the auditors are the ones that get to do this. So I just posted in the auditor room last year. I'd post the product, and the first one to respond got that product. And you can only get one product. So it's like a crapshoot. Is there going to be something better coming along, and will I get it, right? It's like playing
buying a horse at an auction.
Yeah, it's like a game show almost.
Yeah, did I let the good one go? Or is there going to be a better one?
Well, we tried something a little different last night. Thanks to Facebook Live, I can interact live with people now. And I did a Facebook Live last night with trivia questions. So we assigned 8 products last night, valuing almost $1,000. So it pays to be an auditor, people. And what's happening is these products are going out to the auditors. They get to keep them, and they come on the show and do a review. The first thing I sent out was a pair of leather field boots by Devonair worth over $200.
No, I was like, I want those boots. I know. Can I be an auditor?
Yes, if you pay. Your fee for being an auditor is $100 a month. Everybody else can be $1 to $25 a month. You're at $100. So we did. Nick, Linda, Susan, Casey, Brenda, Chris, Jessica, and TJ all got products last night by playing trivia. So they had to, I would announce the product and then say the trivia question, and then they had to decide, if they answered that one and got it right, they had to take that product, and you're only allowed one a year. So it was like, do I wait or do I go? You could see them typing little comments. I don't know what to do. So it was a lot of fun. I think everybody had a great time with it. And I asked very simple questions all about hosts on the Horse Radio Network. So it wasn't difficult. If you want the next batch, we're going to do another trivia game on Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern. So if you're an auditor, be sure to tune in. It'll be the live feed will be in the auditor's Facebook room. If you're not an auditor yet and you've been thinking about it, go over to horseradionetwork.com on the right side of the page. You will see the auditor banner there. Click on it and become an auditor for as little as $1 a month. look at it this way. You do $1 a month over the next year and get a product. Every product's worth over $12. So, you know, you have a shot of reviewing one of those cool products and being on the air.
I love you always say the dollar a month when you can join for more than $1 a month.
Well, you know what's interesting is our average is closer to $12 a month. People don't just join for $1. And I got to thank all the people over the last 4 weeks who have raised their pledges. We have had a people bunch awesome. Of people going from $1 to $5 and $10 a month. So that just means that means more to us than anything, to be honest, because it means that you're liking what you're hearing and you're willing to support what you're hearing. And I just want to remind everybody, we're talking about this before the show. Jamie and all the full-time hosts on the shows owned by the Horse Radio Network get half that money. We split it up. And it's starting to become some real money now. So
I super appreciate it.
Basically, the hosts get a raise every month, and it means a lot to them. And it's all because of you guys. So
yeah, we love you guys.
So thank you for doing that. And
anyway,
you can get in on it.
Enough of our... Yeah, exactly. It's like it sounds like an infomercial, but we're actually like encouraging you to do it so you can get free stuff.
Basically, yes. That's what it comes down to. And it was a lot of fun. We're going to have to do that more often in the auditor room. Facebook Live's allowing us to do so many cool things now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also did want to mention that we have George coming on Monday. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to double check the schedule right now, but I'm pretty sure that's Monday.
George is going to be live on Monday?
Yeah, I wanted to get you prepared because I know you have to mentally prepare, take some Xanax and, you know, Valium and stuff. So I just wanted
Not anymore. He and I are super close.
That's right. You're best friends now. I forgot. Yes, yeah, George Morris will be on the 6th. He will be on at 9:45 on the 6th, right after Dr. Chang.
Oh, my gosh. Two of my favorite people.
Yep. On Monday's show. So look for it then. And he's going to be talking, apparently, something about a new saddle. I don't know much about it.
Yes, he invented this saddle.
George invented a saddle?
George invented a saddle.
We're talking about George Morris, everybody, for those that don't know.
Do we even need to say
his last name anymore? Can we just say George?
Of course, it's George. It's
he's our best
George,
friend
actually,
here on the show. So, I mean, I'm sure when Jennifer got to call and talk to him personally to set this up, believe it or not.
I got to talk to him personally.
Jennifer, answer this. How do you pronounce the name of the saddle?
Boutte?
It's a Boutte.
Boutte.
Okay. Boutte. See, it looks like Boutte.
It looks like
but
Boutte.
But it's Boutte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boutte. I just wanted to not mispronounce it.
Yeah.
it's a Boutte schooling saddle.
Yeah, don't mess up the name of his saddle when he comes on the show,
right?
Jamie. That'd be bad. George would be yelling at you. Jamie, you should know better. You should know how to save your tail. Did I get that close?
Was that... No. Not
Let's go to our first guest before George won't come on the show anymore. We have, you know, this is interesting. All the Forensic Files shows and all those kinds of shows are so popular on TV, and it happens every day. We follow every news story in the horse world every day here, and if we covered all the rescue stories and, unfortunately, the abandonment of horse stories and the cruelty to horses stories, that's all we would do every day. You would be so depressed, you would never listen. But there is a side to that, and it's the veterinary's role when they get called up to go out to a farm or to check on horses that are in bad situations. And I want to talk about the forensic side of what they do. There was an interesting article on thehorse.com about this, the veterinarian's role in equine abuse investigations. And Dr. Eller was the one who, with the ASPCA, who was quoted in the article. So thank you, Dr. Eller, for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, I really want to dig into what do you do? What are the processes that you have to go through, you know, when you're called out to a farm situation where there might be abused or starved animals and things, and what kind of documentation? I really want to get into that side of it, because you guys have to be very careful, because it's going to end up in court someday, and you have a role in that too, right, as a vet?
Yes, I do end up oftentimes acting as an expert witness in court.
So now you get a call and says, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. So typically as the field veterinarian, field forensic veterinarian on my team, my focus is, I kind of have a double focus. So it's the welfare of the animals and it's collecting the evidence to submit for the criminal case so that we can build a strong case if there is a case. And there's a number of processes that we follow in order to do that, kind of take a couple of different walks through the property, trying to identify animals that might be critical and deal with those ones very first so that if we need to get them off-site to an off-site veterinarian for further care, we can get that done first. But before we send that animal off-site, we have to document that animal with photographs and physical examination to make sure that we've collected any evidence of, you know, neglect or abuse that is evident with that animal. Because the minute you start treatment on an animal for whatever condition they may have, you're altering your evidence. So we need to make sure that we document those things prior to doing any treatment, even on a very critical animal.
Now, with that, will you obviously you'll take pictures, but will you do blood work? And does all of that go into it too?
Absolutely. Yep. We do typically a basic blood work panel. Obviously, with horses, we're going to pull a Coggins. We do as much on scene as we can if we've got a critical animal like that. But, of course, when you've got a horse, it's a little bit more difficult to photograph, say, inside their mouth. And that may require further documentation at a later basis. You're obviously not going to change that evidence quickly. So you may have to wait until you're back at the shelter or wherever you're taking that horse, and sedate them and be able to get in there and get good photographs of, you know, any poor teeth, hooks, sharp points, anything like that. So we can't necessarily always document everything with horses on the scene, but we do our best to get all those things. Obviously, a fecal is very important for most of those animals. We'll pull whatever diagnostic tests we need to pull prior to any treatment as well, because obviously if we treat anything, that's going to, again, alter the evidence that was that animal when it was found on scene.
Now, you in the article, you use the term red animals. Explain that.
So that's typically what I'm talking about. When we go onto a scene, we kind of divide things into color coding, so it just makes it easier for us. So for us, red animals are what we consider critical animals that we identify on our first walkthrough of a property. So we're basically just going through first, looking for anybody that needs immediate attention. And, you know, that could be a horse that's colicking, a horse that's three-legged lame, maybe a broken leg, a horse that's feeding, a horse that's down, you know, anything that looks like, man, we got to deal with this right this minute, and we don't have time to, you know, do anything else first. We've just got to deal with this animal because this animal is suffering. So that's what I mean by red animals. And then the next category would be yellow, and those are animals that would require further veterinary attention, but it's not an emergent situation. So maybe we want to look at those animals a little more closely before we send them off to the shelter, but it's not something that we have to get to right this minute. So maybe a horse with a wound that's not actively bleeding, or you know, a painful eye or something like that that we need to get to, but it's not at the moment maybe killing the animal. And then we go to green, which is an animal that looks relatively stable and is ready to be moved to the shelter or off the property. And then the last category is blue. And blue we use to code animals that appear to have infectious diseases. And those animals obviously we want to handle last because we don't want to expose anybody else. And hopefully we've got a space set up in the shelter where we're moving the animals as an isolation area to move those animals. Now, with horses, that's always a little bit you know, typically when we go onto a dog scene, the dogs aren't all housed together. They're housed separately in kennels or however. A lot of times with neglect cases with horses, they're all in the same pasture or the same paddock, or, you know, there's a lot more exposure. So, you know, it may not be as critical to separate those possibly infectious animals because they may have already, you know, exposed to everybody else anyway. So that's what I mean by the colors that we described in that article.
Oh, good. Now, so are the police always there when you go out in situations like this? We've all seen the TV shows, right, where you're showing up and you're a little nervous for yourself and you're thinking you're going to get shot. And I had a situation that was interesting like that. But so when you're going out, when you get these calls, you're going out without the police at first, and then if there's further investigations and things, you're going? Or how's that work?
No. No, with the ASPCA Field Investigations and Response Team, we are always contacted by law enforcement. We don't go in unless law enforcement is involved.
Okay.
So
it's just too dangerous, right? I mean, people with guns.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and you never know what you're going to run into. And no, absolutely. And especially when we're dealing with, you know, the animal fighting cases, you know, there's oftentimes a lot of illegal firearms and drugs and stuff involved as well. So no, we're always working with law enforcement, and we actually have our investigations division that works very closely with law enforcement.
Are you ever in a situation where you're like scared to be there?
I have not been, not with the ASPCA. Prior to the ASPCA, I have, because I did a little bit more investigative work and not necessarily involved with law enforcement being on the property at the time that I went out. And there have been also cases where law enforcement let me down, and I was a little bit nervous, but that has not been the case since I've been with the ASPCA.
You know, it's funny. I told this story a long time ago. We had our big farm. It was set back a long lane, so the Humane Society used to call us when they had horses that needed what we called repoed, that they had already done the court case and now it was time to go get them. Right. So they called us because we sat back this long lane and you couldn't see our house, and it would be harder for the people to find their horses again. And we were just the stopping point. And so we go out to this place. It's over a mountain, and this is such a funny story, and you'll be able to relate. We go over this mountain and we meet the police. Well, it's a state cop who had just came out of Philadelphia the day before, inner city Philadelphia, into rural Pennsylvania. It's his first day on the job, and we have to go get these cows and these horses out of this field. But we get there, and all of a sudden, the Humane Society guy says, I think he's upstairs with a gun. So he was looking out a window of the second story. So the cop's like trying to pay attention to that. I'm supposed to go get the horses out of this mud hole that's a foot deep. And I go walk in to get the horses out, and the woman comes running out of the house, comes running over into the field with me, freaking out, and kicks me right in the groin.
Oh, my God.
A straight shot to the groin. I go down. The cop was pissed because that meant he had to get his shoes dirty right out of inner city Philadelphia into the mud his first day on the job and grab this lady and arrest her. I had a muddy footprint right there, was perfect evidence. So later I had to get pictures taken of that part of my body because there was evidence there. And it was the most bizarre scene. Then he called for backup, which took a long time to get there. They went up and arrested the guy in a house who then we're heading home. This isn't over. We're heading down the mountain. This is a mountain. We're heading down the mountain, going slow with the trailer. We had a horse and a cow in there or something. And we're going down the mountain. And all of a sudden, we're being flanked by the police and the Humane Society guys. They pull us over with their flashing lights because we're being followed by their relatives. It was the most bizarre day.
You know, yes, we do run into a lot of relatives.
I bet you do. We never did that again, though, Dr. Eller. Never. We just never. They called us the next time. We were like, I'm out.
Hey, Bubba, they done taken your cow. They done taken your cow, and they've gone down the mountain with them. You better stop them. Oh, my God. Glenn, are you serious?
Yeah, Jennifer witnessed the whole thing. This whole thing happened. It never did go to court because they pleaded guilty because it was obvious. I mean, it was pretty clear. The cop, he was so pissed. He got his shoes dirty. That's the only thing he was mad about.
I've known veterinarians that have been called out to cruelty cases that didn't want to get their new cowboy boots too dirty, too.
It happens to the best of us.
We're not all cut from the same cloth.
No.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you, too, is that most of these cases, are they turned in by neighbors? Like, how do you guys find out about these cases? Is it somebody snitching on their relative or what?
Yeah, all of the above. We've had relatives, we've had neighbors, we've had concerned friends, you know, and typically, like I said, they'll go, if they contact us directly, we'll usually direct them back to their local law enforcement. And then have law enforcement work with us directly. So, but yeah, it's a little bit of everything. all of the above. And it's amazing how often it actually is relative, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, and especially with horses, we tend to run into more neglect than flat out abuse. You know, I mean, there's certainly abuse in the equine industry, and I'm sure there's plenty of cases of, you know, individual animals that are abused, but neglect tends to be more common with the large animals and the larger scale cases. So a lot of times there ends up being some mental health issues that goes along with that. And so, yes, a lot of times it is a relative that is concerned about this person and wants them to get some help.
And I assume, too, it must be really sad when you just go to the cases where they lost a job, they're just broke, and they can't afford to feed themselves, let alone the kids. I mean, you know, and the horses. Those must be just the sad cases.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are, you know, and I think that there's a lot of places that those folks can look for help. I know that in my home state of Minnesota, we've been doing a lot of work with hay banks and things like that. So I think that, you know, people can reach out for help and look for help before things get that bad. But, you know, that's not always that easy for people to do either, to ask for help.
Yeah, that's kind of a pride issue with a lot of people, unfortunately, and when it shouldn't be in that case when it gets to that point. Well, I want everybody to go read the article.
Or they may just not recognize.
Right. Yeah. These things tend to happen slowly, too. You know, you slowly, and then you're just fighting every day to get through the day, and then life gets away from you. You know, I get it. I get that there's those sad cases out there.
Yeah, but there's no excuse for not taking care of the animals and your children. Like, there are people that are sick, and they need help, and I think that's the family's responsibility and the neighbors. If you guys see something, do something. That's
now,
the bottom
line. Now, unfortunately, the poor guy at the end of our road, who's along a major highway, his horse, you get this a lot, too, and I'm sure you see this. His horse is like 800-900 years old.
Oh,
and getting the sway back and all of that.
Yes.
And he had them called all the time. I swear that the Humane Society put on a recording that said, the horse is fine, he's just old, do not call us about that one. They just play the recording when it would come in.
Yeah, I've had many of those, and you know, I've actually had to talk to the sheriff, you know, and say, yes, I've seen this horse. I was just out there, you know, a month ago. We've had the conversation about quality of life. You know, the owner is aware that, you know, we're looking at the potential of euthanasia very soon, and he's just not ready to do it quite yet, you know. So, yeah absolutely.
And some horses, as they get older, do look sickly. They're not sickly, but they don't, you know, like I'm starting to look. I'm getting older. I'm looking
look
that
terrible.
Way. Right, exactly.
Hey, you take the clothes off of a 90-year-old man, he's not going to look great, right?
Thanks for that.
And there's the visual for the day, Dr. Eller. You can see the rest of the article. You can see the rest of the article at thehorse.com. Head on over there. Dr. Eller, which ASPCA are you with?
I am with the national organization. Our offices are based in New York City.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for that visual for everybody the rest of the day. Dr. Eller, you've been a trooper. Appreciate it. Bye.
I was already thinking, you just said something about you being old, Glenn. Now I get that whole, you're old and naked and it's all in my brain. I need some help.
Jennifer Saver, talk about Kentucky Performance Products. And then we're going to go to our caller. Oh, Jennifer's not here.
So please, please, please start out the commercial with, want to look young again? You can look young and feel young.
Are you 90?
Kentucky would Performance Products Elevate Maintenance Powder.
Would you like
vitamin
your skin to look better?
Glenn?
Sorry.
Hear you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm still on the 90-year-old. I'm trying to help him. Jennifer's going to do our commercial for us today because we've been using Elevate Maintenance Powder, but we'll do that a little bit later. She's actually getting callers lined up, so we'll just tell people to give us a call. If you want to talk about your first horse, that's the topic today. What brought this on is last night, one of the trivia questions that I did with the auditors was, what was the name of Jamie's first horse? And Snowflake was the one you talked about. And everybody has a story with their first horse, because usually the first horse is not the ideal first horse. You know, sometimes it works out that way. Like my case, it did, but sometimes it doesn't. So,
well, I got to be honest. The first horse was Misty, and she was like 37, and Misty didn't live very long. So Snowflake, I don't really count Misty as my first pony, because she really, I mean, like, she was really, really, really old, and she was like a 90-year-old man without clothes on. Yeah, totally. So Snowflake was a pony, Glenn, that came from a, you know, one of those little pony parties where they have them on the, they're tied up and they do the lead line and the circles, like a little hot walker, and they're tied up. And my parents bought Snowflake because I wanted a white pony. My parents bought Snowflake from one of those. And what they didn't realize is she wasn't really broke.
None of them are.
I mean, it was like, I'm out of that pony party and now I don't know how to walk. But she and I foraged a great relationship, and it was based on me having to put food in the stall, wait till she walked in, then closing the door to catch her. Then I would get on her and there was no walk. It was just a dead run, but gave me a really good seat. God rest her soul.
All right, if you want to give us a call, we have a couple lines open, 435-272-1997. Jamie, we're going to start with Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, Jamie. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, thank you so much for giving us a call. Now, you're here to talk about your first pony. First of all, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Salt Lake City, and I actually had leased horses until I was 16, and I was able to get my own horse.
Okay, well, and tell us about
I did go shopping with the trainer that I had at the time. I was into Arabian horse showing. We did hunters and sport horse Arabians and some Western. And so I went training. You know, I took my trainer shopping, and I went to a little breeder that was getting rid of some brood mares, and we found a mare that checked off all the boxes, was 11 years old, broke to ride. She just didn't have any showing record or, you know, any showing training, but my trainer said that she could polish her off and could save a little money doing it that way. And so we didn't vet her. We just, you know, went ahead and I put a deposit down and picked her up. And I actually owned her for 9 years and got a lot of experience. It wasn't always the easiest thing, but you know, I definitely learned a lot from my first horse.
This is terrible, Chelsea, that I'm waiting for the but. You know, like, I'm waiting for the well, but we didn't vet it. But, and you actually have, like, you took a trainer, you had a responsible kind of purchase, and you made smart decisions, and worked out for you.
Well, I think my trainer fell in love with the mare before I did. I did fall in love with the mare, and we bonded. And I guess the but was that if I had to do it over again, I would have insisted on vetting the horse. But we didn't, just because, you know, the trainer was like, yeah, this is the one,
and she loved.
She had an offset. She did, and she had an offset knee, and it didn't seem like that to the trainer or to me that the horse was going to have any problems with that. And then later on, it turned out when she had gone lame, the lameness vet said, oh, well, her ischial plates didn't actually close correctly.
Oh, gotcha. So her knees never quite got right. So yeah, a vet check would have caught that. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about your first horse. What was her name real quick? And then we gotta go to the Rhonda. What was her name?
She had a typical Arabian name. It was Lazara.
I love it.
That's good. Thanks for calling, Chelsea.
Probably like H.M. Lazara B7.
No, it was just Lazara.
Well,
I love it.
All right.
I love it. Yeah.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Right. Have a good one.
All right, we're going to Canada next, up to Rhonda. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Hey, Jamie. Rhonda just got back from a 9-day cruise.
You know what? I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to talk about our vacation. I want like a nightmare story. Do you have a nightmare story about your first horse? Or a beautiful story? That too. I'll take a beautiful story too.
Yeah. It's a Batgirl story. Well, several of them.
Give us like the Reader's Digest version.
Okay. So when I was 15, I saved up to buy my own horse because my parents would not buy me a horse. And there was a beautiful black mare at my barn that was in for just to be sold. I didn't realize that the guy just flipped horses. And she was there for about 2 weeks, and I tried her, and I loved her, so I bought her, and I named her Midnight Sapphire.
Oh, geez. And then Midnight Sapphire.
Oh. Yeah, we called her Sapphire.
That's a stripper name, Midnight Sapphire.
Totally good.
So they told me she was too thin, and I should only walk her for the first couple weeks. So, of course, when I got out of sight, I cantered, which was fine, but I was used to lesson horses. I'd been riding 4 years on lesson horses, and when I asked her to stop, she actually stopped, and I went flying over her head.
Oh, Jesus.
So luckily, she didn't go anywhere, so I got back on and went back to the barn like nothing happened and never did tell my parents. And then, do you want to hear about the broken arm or the hole in my butt?
Enough said.
Yeah, enough we don't said. Need to hear any of it because we know. How many times did you fall off of that horse?
16.
How long did you have her?
I had her for 7 years.
Well, you know if you average that out, it's only like 2.2 times a year that you fell off. So that's not too bad. You know?
Not too bad. No, I don't know whether I learned a lot or just learned what to be afraid of.
See, you learned a lot.
I was so brave back then, and I did anything. I rode her into town, and I like up and down cliffs, and no problem. I wouldn't do any of that now.
I know. Isn't it crazy? I think about Snowflake, and my mom has pictures of me riding her. By the way, helmetless, bridleless, with a piece of baling twine tied to her halter at a dead gallop with pajamas on. And I'm like, Mom, did any of this ring a bell? Like, did any of this ding you saying this is not safe? But no, great photo op. You know, whatever. So anyway, Rhonda, we're lucky to be alive. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Rhonda.
Okay, thank you.
Back to work.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. This should be good. We got Mary Kitzmiller up next, host of Horses in the Morning once a month. I can't wait to hear what her first horse was. Mary, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Now, Mary, are you out in the middle of the field? Because I know you get no service at your farm.
Yeah, I had to go to the end of my pasture, and I have to be careful not to move. And I'm flanked by my first Z-Donk and her best friend, Mule. So hopefully they don't argue while I'm talking.
Okay. Sounds like it could be dangerous. So, Mary, I can't wait to hear what your first horse or pony was.
You know, it went surprisingly well, but I did all the wrong things getting my first horse. My mom and I did. And this was back in my English riding days. And we got, of course, the first horse we saw, and we got her because she was pretty. And her name was Kai. And for Cayenne Pepper, they named her for how hot she was, because of course they did.
Of course.
And yeah, she was kind of broke. You know, kind originally of. Broke in a way. My trainer who owned her, they had to run her into a trailer when they bought her because she wasn't halter broke. But we saw her, fell in love with her, bought her. and she was gorgeous. And I had her up until a few years ago. But she was very fiery, and I was like 11. And, you know, I just got used to riding her with a death grip all the time, because that's the only way that I thought that you could keep her from dead gallop. And I showed her quite a bit. And when we did walk trot, and like we did hunter in her saddle, when we did walk trot, things went good. I won a huge trophy. Everything was great. And then we tried canter, and I didn't know anything but how to ride on the rail. That's what I was taught. You go walk, trot, canter one way, reverse, walk, trot, canter the other way, reverse, walk, trot, canter, reverse, walk, trot, canter, reverse. And as you might imagine, that drove her half insane. And so at the shows, it started, we had problems staying away from the judge, like not running him over. And then there was the year she didn't go left. And then there was the year. Oh, and she was such a beautiful horse, great mover. And we go in to the right, and she'd have the class one, did everything perfect. And then they'd call for reverse. And getting her to reverse and actually go left was very difficult. She's like Derek Zoolander in that case. She just doesn't know how to turn
left.
She
just doesn't turn left, yeah.
Yeah, and she got to where she knew what the announcer was saying. She'd be fine for walk and trot, but then when the microphone was like crack and they were about to say canter, it was the Kentucky Derby. And so, right. You know, all things considered, she was a pretty good horse. I did end up doing cross country and dressage with her, and
so it worked out, I didn't die.
I actually,
it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was her name?
She's a pretty cool girl. Her name was Kai. Her registered, she's a Morgan. Her registered name was Fortune's Me Time.
I love
it. And she wasn't even the first horse I fell off. I didn't fall off of her for many years. The first horse I ended up falling off was a 13-2 hand quarter horse named Sparky the Wonder Horse.
Well, you know what my coach said once I fell off my last event horse, as I'm laying on the ground and she comes over, she's like looking at, over at me and looks down in my face and she goes, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Oh my God, I haven't fallen off in like 5 years." And she looks right at me dead in the eye and goes, "That means you're not riding hard enough." And she walks off.
There you
All
go.
All right, well, Mary, thank you so much for calling in. Give that little Z-Donk a smooch for
I
us.
Just posted a picture of what is looking at Mary right now as she is talking. She took a, grabbed a quick screenshot before she called, and I posted it on our Horses in the Morning page. You have to go see Mary Z-Donk.
Perfect.
So
the two of them are circling me like sharks right now.
All right, Mary, thanks.
All right.
You can hear Mary once a month on our Horses in the Morning show right here, second Thursday of every month. And we have Richard coming up next.
That thing is so cute.
Isn't it cute?
It's cuter than a Zorse. It's just adorable.
It is adorable. We got Richard joining us now. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, guys.
Thank you so much for calling in today. So how old were you? Where in the country are you, first off?
Right now, I'm living in... around Dayton, Ohio.
And where were you for the first horse?
Where's the scene of the crime?
Yeah, right.
I was in Western Kentucky. My wife and I had gotten to a point in our life that was like, okay, do we buy a house or go back to college? And so we decided to go back to college. She went into pre-vet, and I was, of course, in computer engineering tech. And a lot of her stuff was horse stuff. So she tried to keep talking me into taking basic horsemanship. And finally, my last semester, I had a 3-hour credit where I could take anything. So I went ahead and took basic horsemanship. And the college had a bunch of thoroughbreds, and I found one I liked. Of course, I did the bad thing. I picked by color, but she was a good horse.
Like we all do.
Yeah, she was totally black. With a white white star in her forehead, and her name was Snowflake.
Oh, Jamie, another snowflake.
Aw, I love it. Oh, that's great. And so, go ahead.
when I found her, she was 25. She had been the college's mascot for every year at football. They have a thoroughbred that will run up and down the track when the college course scores a touchdown, because it was the Murray State Racers. So
oh
she was
God.
Racer one at one time.
Well, and she must have been
really
broke.
Do you want to know what's really funny is I actually applied and almost went to Murray State. That's crazy.
I never heard of it. So, so never heard of it. So now, did it turn out to be a good first horse? Did it turn out to Snowflake?
Yeah, once I understood her two speeds, walk and gallop.
That's all she'd ever done.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I had to learn when she galloped, it was like, okay, put my feet forward in the stirrups, lean back, tell her to whoa, and in three steps she stopped and I was sitting straight up.
Yeah, you don't want to be leaning forward when she does that. So now, was she must have been Brom proof. This horse could put up with anything. She's at football games.
Well, the first time I was riding her in the stadium, somebody was in the stands and walked out. I didn't see him. She did. And she sort of set back. And of course I stayed in the saddle and I would start, as soon as she got back up straight, I was starting to get off of her because I thought, okay, she stumbled or might've hurt herself. So I was going to check her out. And the instructor rode by and said, don't worry. She just got startled by somebody up in the stands. And you're okay. By the way, good seat.
Now, it clearly, Richard, it sounds like you've given up on horses and you don't have any standing right behind you.
Well, actually, I'm at work right now.
Okay. Well, where do you work that there's horses?
That's cool.
I work at a Arabian breeding barn.
Oh, okay. I know which Richard this is now. And Richard, now, so tell me, how long did this horse last? I always ask one question too many. Is this horse still with you?
No, since she was 25, I had found a job up here in Ohio, and we couldn't bring her up here, so she stayed at my parents' house, and she lived to be about 30, 32.
Well, that's a happy ending, though. She had a happy life.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very good. Well,
that's the kind of horse that you're like, well, she lived to be 47. Couldn't get her to die.
Right. That's right. Like my pony. That's right. Well, thank you, Richard. We appreciate it. Tell those Arabians to quiet down back there, okay?
Okay.
Take care.
Good talking to you guys.
All right. See you, Richard.
Bye, Richard.
Bye.
He's a new auditor, actually, and also a podcaster. He does a gaming podcast for like the last 6 years. I just was didn't put two and two together there, but he works at an Arabian breeding farm, which is why all the noise in the background.
Well, I just love talking to guests and having dogs or horses in the background.
Yes.
It just makes me happy.
I know,
or
me
roosters.
Too. You know, most of these podcasters are trying to get perfect sound, and we're like, no, we want the horses whinnying. We want the dogs barking, the kitties meowing. That's all great stuff for us.
I'm telling you what, it's a change from my last job because I did the traffic reports from home and I was supposed to be in a helicopter. And
did
my
they have fake helicopter whoosh, 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 going in the background?
I was on like a little CB radio. And so it sounded like I was in a helicopter. Hey, by the way, sometimes your traffic guy is not in a helicopter. By the way. So, and then my dog would bark and oh God, I'd get in the biggest trouble. And so then I just started going, what's that? What's that, Brett the traffic dog? Brett the traffic dog says there's a wreck on 85 South and Jimmy Carter Boulevard. Sitting up the right lane, so you see about 10 minutes of added delays. Yeah. Because I had to do something, the dang dog barking her nuts off. Like, what's that, Brett the traffic dog? There's a wreck on 75 North. Okay. What lane's it in? Good girl.
We've been all over the place today. We started with NPR. Now we're doing traffic in Atlanta. We're doing all over the place today. Well, Jennifer, why don't you tell us a little bit about why we are, for our horses, using the Elevate Maintenance Powder products.
From Kentucky Performance Products.
That's right. We use Elevate Maintenance Powder, which is a natural vitamin E supplement versus a synthetic vitamin E, which is not well absorbed versus natural, which is. We use it because it is economical and the horses chow it right down, and it's natural, which means they absorb it better. And the reason we started giving the horses vitamin E supplement is our horses have very limited access to green pasture in the winter, just like everybody else, because it just dries up down here. And in the summertime, when we have lots of green grass, Scooter in particular has limited green grass because he's a little fatty and we can't give him too much grass. So we do that. And what really spurred me on to do something is last fall, Scooter, late in the fall, started to turn into a quiet pony. He was just a quiet pony. You could lead him from the pasture to the barn and back out to the pasture or around the block, and he'd just walk along next to you, quiet and mannerly, and that wasn't like Scooter.
No, it was a little disturbing.
That was a little disturbing.
This is a commercial for their product, right? Like, you know you're trying to sell this product.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened to Scooter then? After he got started taking it. Right.
So now the powder is something that takes a little bit of time to build up in their system versus the liquid. They also make the WS, which is a liquid and works much quicker. But we put him on that. It took about 2 weeks, and I started to notice that he was perking up a little bit. And he's been on it for a little over a month now, and I'm thrilled to say he is back to his totally obnoxious self. Just complete obnoxiousness. Drags you around, gets into trouble, knocks everything over, chews on Nigel.
Like I said, awesome. You're supposed to sell this product, Jennifer. I feel like now, like I was talking to you about it before the show, because I really think my Mustangs need it because they're not on that much grass either. And, I just realized that if I were to give this to Zeus, he might come in my house and kill me.
Yeah, we're not really selling it to the people who want their horses to be calm and docile and not. But, you know, there's a difference. Go ahead.
One of the additional side benefits is Scooter's fly bite allergies are greatly reduced. Last summer, he completely rubbed his forelock out. He had no forelock left from itching. And I would say been reduced by about 80%. Much, much less itchy. So maybe that's why he's back to obnoxious, because he's not exhausted from scratching all the time. Maybe
is it causing any added hair growth? Because Thor would appreciate that with his tail.
The problem with Thor's tail is it keeps getting chewed off at a regular rate, so that's not helping. You have to eliminate the source of the tail being destroyed. That's
like I said, if I gave Zeus vitamin E, he would be standing at the foot of my bed with a knife. Like, just because. He was just that much.
Well, you can find all of Kentucky Performance Products products at kppusa.com. It's kppusa.com. You can find all kinds of good information. They have a ton more information about the products on the product pages than any other supplement company in the industry. They actually tell you what you can use it for, where most don't. So
they have like a news, and they have like a blog section. It's really an interesting website.
It is. If you're interested in your horse's health, and who isn't, then that's a place you have to go, is kppusa.com. And if you want your horse acting like Scooter, go to Elevate Maintenance Powder. Well, we're going to take a break. You know, I was flipping around the TV the other night when I couldn't sleep, and I found an old John Wayne movie. And I hadn't come across one of those in a long time, because I don't flip channels anymore. So I hadn't come across one in a long time. And you know what it made me think of right away, Jamie? Your dad. Because your dad loves John Wayne. So it made me think of your dad right away, which made
which
me think.
Was it?
I don't remember. It was a Western.
Oh, my God. Chad and I have the entire John Wayne collection. We're trying to get through all of them.
Oh, really?
And we've probably got through 20 of them already. So
you know,
I'm curious,
I like John Wayne, but a couple of those Westerns started to look alike after a while.
I'm sorry. Some of them are so good. The Searchers.
Yeah, there are some that are good. Well, I Miss John Wayne by Dan Roberts. Perfect. Yeah, I thought. Tell your dad to turn on the show quick.
been looking for something that's missing in our world, and I wonder if my search is all in vain. Where's the good guys? Where's the bad guys? Where is law and justice gone? Lord, how I miss John Wayne. All alone in the saddle, with guns blazing in each hand, with true grit in his teeth, he held the reins. He charged hard into battle, where a lesser man he would have run. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right and wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord, how I miss John Wayne. Well, I never thought I'd see the day, but it's time has come and gone, and now a man's man, he's looked upon with shame. What we're needing in this world today is men with the guts to back up what they say. Lord, how I miss John Wayne. He never backed down from a job that he had to do, and he could cross the line from talking with a clenched fist attitude. He knew right was right and wrong was wrong, but today they seem the same. Oh Lord, how I miss John Wayne.
Well, there have been a lot of cowboys who have come and gone. Men like Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Johnny Mack Brown, Tex Ritter, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys, Jimmy Stewart, Bob Nolan, Cisco Kid, Tom Mix, Buck Jones, old Walter Brennan, Bob Steele, Ray Reed, Bob Crosby, Hopalong Cassidy, Gabby Hayes, Ben Johnson, of course old Louis L'Amour. They're all cowboy heroes, and in many ways they're the same. But Lord, how I miss John Wayne.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half-chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store. Or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Well, we're back here at Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair, and it's soon that time. Did you have one news story you wanted to do quick?
I did. This is kind of amazing, and I guess you got to strike when the iron is hot, but American Pharoah is going to shuttle to Australia. And
that was kind of crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
What, there's not enough mares here? I don't know.
So they said Coolmore, Australia, is going to take him. I mean, he's at Coolmore now. But they said they've been overwhelmed by interest from Australian and Asian breeders in American Pharoah ever since he retired in Kentucky. And so saying that it's recognized that he's a once-in-a-lifetime horse and the opportunity to bring him to Australia is an irresistible one. Of course, because like everybody wants to pay to breed to American Pharoah. And, you know, while you're in your first couple years, like, if things go south, they might never have an opportunity like this again to cash in like that. But isn't that crazy? I just feel like, give the guy a break.
Yeah, do you think that the rate goes up when he travels to Australia?
So I don't know, because his rate right now is private. He stands for a private fee.
So you know what that really means? They're negotiating every individual one.
Yep. Exactly. And I'm saying it's dependent on the mare, you know, how classy the mare is.
Yeah.
But they have released the fee, Australian money. It's going to be $50,000 for US dollars, $66,000 Australian dollars, $50,000. That doesn't seem like a ton for sending.
Yeah, but what
did
we hear that they, when they first come out, until they get some some kids that are actually doing something, then their rates will go up. So they need those winners in the line, I guess.
Yes, yeah. they got to get them going, with some successful mares to have some.
Because he got sold four breeding rights right early on, so, and they paid, if I remember right, it was like $12 million or something. So you got to breed a few to catch up to where just to break even.
Yeah, they'll be fine. And now that they, you know, his sire? No, that was California Chrome sire. Okay.
And do they work the same as we do as far as the January seasons in Australia? So that you're
no,
okay.
They have their own season, so I think that he will leave in July and return to the U.S. in like December.
Because he would be doing much breeding here then anyway.
No, he won't be doing any. So they're like, let's just keep this train going.
Yeah, let's just keep that boy happy all year long.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a bad gig, I guess, if you can get it. I just am sad to see him go. I just, you know, mainly I worry about accidents happening.
Yeah, on the flight, you mean, and everything? Just all that process?
Yeah, the whole thing just seems so scary to me. But I've never flown a horse, so what do I know?
I guarantee he's going to be in a better box stall than yours or I would if we were flying our horse to Australia.
What they do, Glenn, is for American Pharoah, they just take him right up. Sir, can we get you a drink? Would you like a cocktail? He's in 1A. He gets the whole row. He's in first
class. He's completely bubble wrapped. But
yeah, exactly. Sir, can you please put your tray table up and seatbelt on?
Yes, that's right.
So American Pharoah shuttling to Australia. So we're going to be making some babies down under.
All right. Sounds good. Really bad ads time.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
All right, it is that time of the week when we do some really bad ads. Listeners, go to Craigslist or Facebook and find some really crappy ads about horses for sale or things in the barn for sale and send them to us, and We have a little bit of fun with them. And it was the end of the month, so we have to give some prizes away. Why don't we do that first, and then we'll announce next this month's coming prizes. We'll announce those next week. So in the month of February, we had the Jaden Terrell gift pack, which included a signed copy of The Taste of Blood and Ashes by Jaden Terrell, a horse-themed fleece throw, a horse-themed journal, and a silver horse necklace, which actually is exactly the same as one that Jamie has. So
it was so crazy when I saw that picture.
This is a whole package of stuff. A really good package. By the way, you can find her book, A Taste of Blood and Ashes by Jaden Terrell, at all places where major books are sold, Amazon and all of that. Also at her website at jadenterrell.com. And we thank her for donating this prize pack.
Now is the Fergus book coming with that same package? Or
no,
giving that
we're
going to
give
separately?
It separately. So we'll pick two different winners here. And we might as well pick this one. Why doesn't Jennifer give us the numbers? And Jamie, you can pick.
Alrighty, I need for the Jaden Terrell book package, I need a number between 1 and 251.
999.
No, that doesn't work.
99.
And our winner is, drum roll, Kelly Dean is the winner of the Jaden Terrell book gift pack.
Kelly Dean, woo-hoo! Congratulations for winning that. And our next prize is the Jean Abernathy, her brand new book called Fergus, A Horse to Be Reckoned With. It's a kid's book, and it is a great little book. I have it sitting right here. We're going to send it out to you. It's kind of written like with a nod to Dr. Seuss. It's kind of Seuss-esque. And it's going to become a favorite for every kid out there whose mommy and daddy likes horses and is going to read it to them. So
I read it twice.
Yeah, it's a good,
or grown-ass women.
And the illustrations, of course, it's Fergus and it's Jean Abernathy. The illustrations are wonderful. So we're going to give that away right now, and we're picking between what and what again, Jennifer?
No, this time it's going to be between 1 and 250.
so I can't choose 99 again, right?
Yeah. Well, you just shifted everybody up, so you sure can.
All right, let's take 99 again.
99 again. Well, look at that. Karen Dole wins. Woohoo!
Karen, what was the last name? Karen.
Dole, like
Dole
Whip? Fruit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like the pineapple.
All right, Karen Dole
Whip.
Dole.
And that's a fruit. It's not a dessert.
Oh, it is in Disney World. Dole Whip is one of the most popular desserts in Disney World.
No, I knew you were right there. That's so funny.
Are you kidding? That's what our life revolves around. We live in Florida, for God's sake. All right, really bad ads time. And then congratulations to the winners. We'll have some more great prizes for you next month. Ellen sent this one in. We're seeing a lot of new names now. Thank you for that. On-site lease. Looking to lease out Augie. A-U-G-G-I-E. She needs a confident intermediate rider. She's about 16 hands, and she is very fast. Text only. Now, we don't know what exactly she is, but she needs an intermediate rider. About 16
she's
hands.
Fast, she's fast, and I'm not going to sell her. I'm just going to watch her run away with you.
That's right.
At my farm, because right. It's an on-site lease.
Yeah, because she couldn't sell it. Everybody kept saying, no, I'm not buying that thing. All right, yeah. Beth Colt, $500. Good horse colt out of Sandpar Pick Stud Mare. Was not papered, but was out of Jesse... I can't read these Western names. Let's start over. Good horse colt out of a Sandpar Pick Stud Mare. Was not papered, but was out of a Jesse James Stud Colt. Is gentle, but not halter broke, should be mature to about 15 hands. Would trade for a rifle, hunting, or trailer, saddles, just hit me up, what you got? I really don't care. This thing has to go.
Well, I find it amazing that you give people so much extra credit when you're reading the ad, because this has no punctuation. Many of these words are misspelled.
Yes.
And,
but they did a good job of misspelling them so they sounded phonetically correct.
That's true. but I would like to just read the first sentence, if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead.
Good horse colt out of Sandpar Pick Stud Mare was not papered, but was out of a Jesse James Stud Colt is gentle, but not halter broke. He should mature to 15 hand. You were quite kind.
I try.
And then you can just trade for a gun.
Yeah. Hunting rifle, though. Not any old gun.
Oh, I don't know the difference. All right, Marie sent in the next one. This is ISO, the world's most crotchety donkey. That is in search of, right? Okay.
Yeah, and this is not related to the other, what was that, the donkey's name, Jennifer?
Bianca Donk.
This is not related to Bianca Donk, apparently.
Oh, it's not.
This is new, yeah.
Okay. All right. You all thought you were rid of me once the world's most sueless donkey found a home. Nope. Is that supposed to be useless? Oh,
yes,
sueless. They can't sue them. I am now on the hunt for her replacement. I need the world's most crotchety donkey. We need something that is okay with living with a variety of animals, from baby buckling bulls with codependency problems and rough housing habits. We need the disciplinarian. I'm looking for the kind of donkey that would prefer to sit in a corner sipping scotch and smoking a cigar while yelling at the kids that back in the day we didn't have creep feeders. We had to fight the Germans for our feed. Baby bulls fight, and I want the grand pad donkey that threatens to lay them over his knee when they get to pushing on fences or being young and dumb. I need a donkey that when he yells, it's a cross between Liam Neeson and Morgan Freeman. That uneasy calm of an old man that will ruin our whole day. The donkey that has war stories, but only shares them at the VFW with his crotchety donkey friends. You know.
Picture this whole scene.
The type of story about why he has one eye and half of an ear. I want the donkey that drives 40 in a 75 in his 1993 Ford Ranger and flips the bird to the young whippersnappers whizzing by in their BMWs. This donkey needs to be gritty, but not too gritty for a blankie and a nice warm stall when the weather turns bad. He'll tell you he hates it, but deep down he doesn't. The bigger the better, by the way, because sometimes baby buckers need to know a little fear in their life. And I don't want the donkey to fit in the creep feeders. Anywho, show me your ass. I added that last part. It says, show me your donkey.
This is a guy who likes bad donkeys right here. Ann sent in the following one. Stud horse for sale, $500. I have a beautiful stud horse for sale. He was bottle fed and hand raised. You can have him gilded. Serious buyers only. Bring your own trailer because I can't get him in. He's not. I can't get him in the trailer.
It's, you can't have mine.
No, oh, no, you can't. No, this horse hasn't been touched, is what it's saying. It's a stud horse that has not been touched since he was bottle fed and hand raised.
Yeah, it was bottle fed and hand raised, and it's a stud. This thing will attack you.
Yes,
it will maul you.
But you can have him gilded. You know. Gilded. He'll look good gilded in gold or bronze. It'll look great. All right. Now, Kelly sent this one in, and she did it herself. So this is Kelly Dean. Didn't she just win?
Didn't she just win?
Yeah, she just won, didn't she? Well, good job, Kelly. See, it was worth sending it in.
All right, Jamie, this is for you. I just got done listening to Friday's recorded show, and nobody sent anything in recorded. So here you go.
This is
a really bad ad from Craigslist, Ham Lake, Minnesota. Title, Miniature Driving Horse, $1,400. All righty then. This is going to sound harsh, but I'm tired of people not reading my ad to the very end. If you don't have to do that, you don't have time to buy this horse and gear the way I'm selling it. So go somewhere else and don't string me along. This is not just any horse. I'm looking for the right home for him. He deserves not to be treated as a commodity. So if you're not willing to play by my rules, go find another game. This little guy has the perfect conformation characteristics. Conformation and proportioned body to a full-sized horse and a beautiful head with a kind eye and is a stock horse type. I'm guessing he weighs in at about 250 pounds. I think he needs to go on a diet and lose about 20 pounds. He is very personable and totally safe. Blue Roan Gelding B-Class registered at exactly 34 inches. Rosetta Acres Prince Rambler. Only takes one person to handle as he stands stock still while harnessing and putting to the cart. Rambler is road/traffic safe, but He still does not like plastic bags, even though he'll track through dry leaves. But he's not spooky around dogs, as he has lived with some really rambunctious ones. He has been all day pastured, wearing a grazing muzzle with a Morgan gelding for 10 years. Rambler has great stamina, a tender mouth, and truly enjoys pulling. I've driven him 8 to 10 miles a day using slow and fast walk and slow and fast trot. He does wooden bridges without flinching. I haven't cantered him in harness. He round pens at liberty. I've ponied him out attached to my adult trike with him on one side and my dog on the other. He's great with kids and loves lots of attention. He is used to saddle and bridle and has given some rides in the past, but he's much better in the traces. The more you work him under saddle, though, the better he is. Can jump. Rambler comes complete with easy empty cart, full black harness with saddle pad, 12-inch black saddle with blanket, bridle, training surcingle, and 2 grazing muzzle. Whew. Have carted this exceptional horse 8 to 10 miles on an outing along busy roads and onto park trails. He's been driven on paths, along residential and busy roads, down into and back home from Bunker Park. He is absolutely traffic safe. He is as people-oriented as he is treat-oriented. When a new vet came for my Morgan, he even commented on this little guy's personality. Can't help but wonder if it has anything to do with his mustache. He took a best in class for confirmation when he was a stallion.
This so he's is well so much built information.
In the stock type category. He is registered. Has not had a vet call except for yearly checkups. Gets teeth floated every other year, as he does have one tooth trouble way back in that grows sharp. He is totally sound and doesn't have any issues. If you're interested, you must note that you will be vetted to the extreme with background checks through your farrier, vet, friends, I'll come to your property before we close the sale. I prefer his new home to be with someone who's familiar with the care and feeding of miniature horse. This ad is up till sold or if PL flags it. This is a cash-only transaction. I don't have any long distance.
Run, people. Run.
Phone service.
Do not buy this horse.
And I'm not cell phone savvy. So when you respond, type in your phone number and we'll have a conversation.
I bet you will.
Do not contact me with unsolicited services or offers. So there you go. Bad ad from Minnesota.
Thank you, Kelly. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Poor. You know what? That poor woman might be married to somebody. That poor guy.
I do not do it. We've all dealt with people like this, and they will be a pain in your ass for the next 20 years. Ugh.
I remember the last pony I bought for a client. The woman, we gave her cash. They paid in cash to buy the pony, and she kept messaging like every 2 weeks. I haven't deposited the cash. Are you sure you don't want to give him back? I'm like, seriously? We gave you cash. Leave us alone.
You haven't deposited the cash. Like that makes it official only when you deposit the cash. Apparently, if you spend the cash, it's not official.
No, I mean, my God, just she's like, I still have the envelope of the cash. So if you want to give back, I'd be more than. I'm like, why did you sell him? If you didn't want to sell him,
right?
By the way. He's the amazing Jacob, and he's the one that Lucas has been taking lessons.
Oh, it's good you kept him. It's good you didn't give him back.
I didn't give him back. I'll kill somebody before I let that pony go somewhere. All right.
Hey, Andrea.
Oh, my gosh. That ad. Kelly, well done. Good find. I almost feel like with Kelly reading that it's her ad. Like she owned it a little too much. You know what I mean?
Well, she is an award winner like me, so, you know.
Andrea sent this next one in. Kelly, I keyed. Good Broke Bay Mare 2750 in Owaonta, Alabama. What is that, Owaonta, or is that Wanana? I bet in Alabama it's called Wanana.
Wanana.
Wanana. All hell, it's Alabama. It don't matter what you say. Good Broke Bay Mare has been ridden a lot. Like, ridden on the road, ridden through water, ridden in the mountains, ridden with cattle, ridden in the yard, ridden to the liquor store, and back.
That's a good broke horse right there. If they can get you home from the liquor store to bar, that's a horse you want to keep. Price just went
up. You get the gist. She's hard to catch, but once you have her trust, she's fine. Like any lady worth her salt. She ain't been ridden in over a year now, so she may need a bit of coaxing. Carrots and a blingy halter would probably do it. Call or text for more info, priced at $27.50.
That seems the right price for a horse to get you back from the bar, doesn't it?
Andrea, that was fantastic ad. Remember when we used to just pick the winner?
Yes.
That one would be up
there. That would be up there. Yeah, that's That'd right.
Be just she'd been ridden in the mountains, cattle, yard, store, liquor store, and back.
Back.
That's so.
It reminds me of the horses we saw out in California there, all tied up at the bar. That's funny, Norco. Mm-hmm. All right, Angela sent the following one in: a vintage miniature horse trailer for $800. Oh God, look at the front!
Oh my God, it's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It has no title, and I love how they say, and this thing's tiny. Probably I'm taller than this thing is. Would make a great tiny RV project. Yeah, for miniature people. I don't know who would fit in that thing, but it's for minis for sure. And then, do you like the bubble out the front? It looks like something out of Star Trek.
This is like the cutest thing I've ever seen. It has little mini white wall tires.
Yeah.
Or at least on one side it does. The other side doesn't. But, oh my gosh, it's so cute. It's this tiny little like tan.
It's a little tan.
Trailer. You can see the screw holes in it.
Hey, you know what? They went above and beyond. This thing doesn't have grass growing up around the tires, and the air is in the tires.
And like I said, there's one white wall. The other side, not so much.
Did you notice how it avoids completely showing the front hitch? Because there probably isn't one. I don't know how you're going to get it to where you're going, but it seems to be sitting on the ground.
It does need a new ramp.
Yeah, new ramp. Yeah, be good. Although the minis aren't very heavy, so they'd be fine. They won't fall through right away.
Oh, hell, just hop up on in there, sugar.
Let's end because we're running out of time. We'll keep Jessica's for next week and Stacy's for next week. Laura, though, read a couple for us, so why don't we play one of hers?
Okay.
All right. We'll end on Laura's.
Emergency sale, $700. I was selling my mare because I can no longer afford her, but the seller just backed out and I need her gone ASAP. I can't afford board at all for her. I can barely afford my gelding as it is, and I sure in hell can't afford her. I'm 100% willing to lower her price at any cost. She just needs someone who will be patient with her. She will be 7 years old this year. Well-trained, but can be moody. She's a mare, so duh. I really, really need her gone. I don't want her to end up in the pound or something. She can be a children's horse, just not left unattended. Please help.
Do you think this guy just got a divorce? Do you think?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
He has it out for the whole female race. Whether they have two legs or four, it doesn't matter. I love this line, though. Let me get back to it.
And I sure in hell can't afford her.
How many husbands have said that about their wives? I sure as hell can't afford her. I'm going to cut that one out. All right. Well read, Laura. Well read. Awesome. That's it for this week, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. George, the George, is here on Monday. George
Get
Morris.
I'm not going to sleep all weekend. I'm so nervous and excited.
He'll be here on Monday. We have Leslie back and usual week coming up. And then we got all hell breaks loose for the rest of the month here on the show. We got lots of cool stuff planned for you. But in-laws are coming next Wednesday, so we have to clean the house this weekend. Get ready for that.
Good times. Hey, I do want to say, if anybody has any questions they want me to ask the George, and I don't feel like I'd be risking my life asking it, email me or Facebook me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com.
You realize he's coming on to talk about his saddle. I don't think he's taking questions.
What? I'm just going to talk for him for 30 seconds about a saddle? I get to ask him questions, Glenn. It's part of an interview.
I think this is a promotion for his saddle. Just clarifying here.
We're going to sneak questions in there.
Yeah, maybe
a
question or
two. Thank you.
Maybe she'll pick out the best questions. So make them good.
This is George. This is the George. He's my friend.
Yes.
That's right. You don't even get to talk.
I never talk when you have the George on. It's like a love fest. I never get to talk.
Like, you don't even exist when the George
is on. I know. It's like she's laser focused.
Just email me your questions, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. And if you're still listening to this godforsaken show, then now you have your chance. Now you know my email address.
That's right.
Even my phone number, too.
There's
nobody's
three
listening.
People left. You'll be out. Fine. You're okay. All right.
Hey,
that's it, everybody.
Here's my number. All right. Bye. Spay, neuter, gal, and everybody, a good one. Have a good weekend. Clean your house, bud.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop. You have to take us out in proper NPR style.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you so much for joining us today. Pretty sure that, like with NPR, nobody's listening anymore. Everybody has tuned out at this point. But if for some reason your radio is stuck on play and your pause button is not working on your iPhone,
or your hands
frozen,
are covered in poop in the stall cleaning,
you can take your thumb and depress the circular button on the bottom and then hold your finger over on the side, and that will successfully reset your phone so you don't have to listen to this anymore. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. Spay, neuter, geld. Hug your loved ones. Keep reaching for the stars.
We are so going to get sued. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Make it stop. Wait, make it stop. End it. They've already turned off their phones. I told them how.
Bye, everybody.